Welcome to The Ether. Today is Monday, February 14th, 2022. This episode of The Ether is brought to you by LuArt. LuArt is the first gamified NFT platform built on the Terra network. LuArt provides a seamless minting and trading experience, all while earning you rewards just for being a user. Be sure to follow them on Twitter and join the community in the Discord server for the most up-to-date news and announcements regarding all the hot new NFT launches, platform upgrades, and new projects hitting the secondary marketplace. Are you ready to put your helmet on and join the movement? Find out more at luart.io. This episode of The Ether is also brought to you by Orbital Command, a community validator on Terra dedicated to educating, expanding, and promoting the Lunatic community. Have you heard about the new Terra Invest Strategy Discord server Orbital Command spun up? If you're looking for a chill place to chat about different Luna stacking strategies, or looking for some alpha, or if you're trying to find the best UST farms, or even if you just have a quick question you need answered, be sure to stop by TIS and say hi to the Orbital Command gang. Hell, I'm even in there sometimes when I'm not editing hours of CeFi spaces. You can find me in that server chatting about NFTs and answering basic Terra Luna questions. The link to the server is in the show notes, and for more information, check out orbitalcommand.io. Terra Spaces appreciates the support from all our sponsors. Today on The Ether, we have about the last 50-55 minutes or so of the crypto money life, Luna Prism strategy opportunity. Let's take a listen.
Early doors, we've already seen crazy volatility. There's lots of risks that you potentially dilute yourself. So I hope people are being really sensible. But I think it's also really interesting, to see the maturity in the Terra community. Like, I remember, this time last year, maybe a few months later, people didn't even really, the majority of the community didn't even really understand the B Luna to Luna arb, which now kind of pales in complexity compared to the kind of different strategies that we're going to have going on here.
Yeah, it is good to have all the, at least the people that are really into the ecosystem, have a good feeling about how LPs work, how ARBs work, and building more and more people with that knowledge base to be able to spread it around so that people feel more and more confident to safely use all of those systems. My general thought is that the less people that get wrecked on various strategies, the more likely, the more people are successful, at least within the inner community. It's a different thing to say, someone on Coinbase buys some Luna and buys too high and sells too low. That's a different thing. But as long as people within the sort of inner community are learning things correctly and doing what they're supposed to do, then they all become sort of advocates for all the various, protocols and for Terra in general. So hopefully people are learning something from all this. It's pretty interesting. The process and the arbitrage and how these pools work, and it's pretty interestingly designed system.
Yeah, Ethan, you got another question?
Are we expecting more liquidity to be added? Because I was following all the news from Prism, and I saw Loop and other they planning to add Luna liquidity. Because if what I see from now, this why Luna is getting, I didn't expect this, but why Luna is 44-50% of Luna. So means it's right now we can't even think of any strategy. We do not know even where this will go. So is there any news of adding Luna liquidity?
So we already touched on this. So we're expecting to sort of 2 to 3x the initial liquidity that we seeded in each pool. over the next day or two. And then we're going to be assessing trade volumes and trade sizes on the different pairs to see where we potentially need to incentivize liquidity from other sources. So that's the answer on that one. In terms of like where Y-Luna and P-Luna are like in relation to each other, like that's nothing to do with us. That's entirely up to the market. We seeded the liquidity pools at 50-50. So I think they both started off first thing this morning at $26 on each side of YMP Luna. And as you can see, looking at it right now, we're $23 on Y Luna and $31 on P Luna. So the market seems to be bullish P at the minute.
Yeah, it's interesting. The whole protocol is very interesting. Yeah, thank you for answering my question. Thank you,
Mr. Danku. Good morning. Good afternoon.
Good morning, sir. I don't know your daily rhythm as a DJ, but I understand that. Hey, good morning. Good to talk to you.
We don't really have the good afternoon welcoming, do we? So we'll have to go. Good morning.
That PFP, sir. Whom did you had to talk to get that one?
So we had a UK Lunatics night out on Friday, and I mean, really surprised, but as like a thank you from the guys for, you know, setting up the community and getting everyone together, you know, a few times, and they arranged for this special bull for me. So it's not not part of the official collection, but it's minted on Talis. So it's
super cool.
So yeah,
I'm happy for you, and you also deserve it. And I mean, you know me, guys. I haven't been so hyped for this ecosystem since days. I didn't thought that. I mean, we have been all texting together in the last days, right? Because I want more information on the amps. I think what you're designing there is beautiful. And I just said, it's okay. On Monday, it will go live and everybody will have fun. But now I'm sitting here. It's like, shit, what to do? Should I up? Should I not up? Should I buy? Should I sell? Should I do something here? Do I need to try to describe this? Kudos to you guys. Kudos to Hyperion. Haven't been so hyped in a while. This is just pure fun.
Yeah, it's definitely been a fun morning. I've been hyped about Prism since I first heard about the project probably 6 or 7 months ago now, I'm obviously speaking from a biased position here because I'm part of the team, but you know, my honest feeling, like even before I joined the team, was that, you know, I honestly think as we build Prism out, it could be like another foundation stone for Terra alongside the likes of Mirror, Anchor, and probably Astroport. You know, I honestly believe that, and I hope that we'll prove that as we continue to build this thing out.
Nah, 100%, I think so. And you know, which I think is so amazing is while I was listening right now, when Steffi was trying to break also down how to get maybe more Y Luna and then to stake it, I was just in my head also trying to draw it, and it's just so amazing that it's like you literally right now sit in front of this and said, I mean, I'm a sicko. I enjoy this kind of stuff. It's like, does this work? Is this how it should be? But then if this moves and then this moves and then the other piece moves and then does it really fit together? This is the fun part that I think, I don't know if you said it, Ryan, or also Steffi earlier, that B Luna is so normal for us. The Arving, we understand it. We get it, right? It's kind of now already in our normal blood, also how LP works. But this brings another complexity in there that is just, I said, sorry for being so hyped as a sicko, but I think it's cool. It's fun. It's fresh again.
It's Christmas on Valentine for you, Danku.
Yeah, I was searching for a wife where now I got Prism. More or less the same. Right.
So, Danku, have you made any moves? Come on, leak the alpha. What you doing?
I'm right now really trying to break it down. That's why I pulled also the governance pull out there, right? Asking people, do you think that I should also cover this? Because I'm trying to figure out kind of which is the easiest and safest way, also taking care of the slippage, right? Should you really move all the time? For me, I think making moves between P and Y Luna is way too risky for myself in terms of you cannot predict it, right? But Arbing C to Luna, and also then mixing or merging and splitting Y and P Luna to Luna or to C Luna. That's something you can control, right? It's almost independent from price. That's what I would focus first. But then again, the slippage is also something people should not forget. And then, I mean, I'm in Germany, sorry. I also need to take care of tax. So that's another big question, if it then even makes sense. But that's what I tried now. I couldn't hold myself back. I was approached by some people also from the German community and Spanish community. And they then said, dude, I just already did my first ops. And then I couldn't hold myself back. I wanted to wait, but impossible. So that's what I did. Don't know what you guys did already.
Yeah, I've played around with it all. Arb just Luna, the Luna price, did some refracting and some selling. You know, these prices here are interesting to me. The Y Luna at 23, P Luna at 30. I think that's a pretty good spread there on that. I don't know, any of you speakers have any thoughts on the spread we're seeing right now on Y Luna, P Luna?
I'm curious what the folks, you know, who when we were doing our rounds a couple of weeks ago, trying to wrap their head around the idea of why P Luna has any value at all in the face of, you know, the utility and the liquid staking rewards of Y Luna. I'm curious what their thoughts are right now that P Luna hasn't, you know, it's retaining a value based on, you know, their analysis beforehand.
I'm a little bit shocked as well. I thought, I mean, we've been back and forth about, you know, where do we seed these pools? Like, as Jimmy said, like, you know, everyone's got a different take. Some extremely bearish on P Luna, some really bullish on P Luna, and you know, vice versa on Y Luna. And eventually we said, well, you know, why don't we just split it down the middle and see where it goes? I think at one point we were nearly doing 60-40 in favor of Y. There's so much debate around where do we seed these pools. You know, we don't want to influence the action too much. So yeah, decided to go down the middle, and you know, I'm kind of surprised at the minute that P Luna's kind of raced ahead, but I mean, it's still, we're like, what, like 3 hours in since launch, so there's still like plenty of time for things to change.
No, sir, it's decided already. It's over. That's how DeFi works, right? The first moment you see a movement, it's decided, and it's cool. It's so crazy. You know, which strikes me the most is this typical thing of usually you have an up opportunity in one direction, right? Be it B Luna to Luna. And then if you want to go back, if right now an up is in one direction, it doesn't work in the other direction. But Prism has this weird setup that you can swap into from Luna to C Luna instead of minting it, and then refract it and then take benefit of other up opportunities beyond that. And those kind of multiple tracks that you can go to try to figure out the best one right now, this is beautiful, right? This is truly a cool exercise that I'll try to do now. That's why I refract myself out of this speaker and go back to listener, because I need to focus, guys.
Thank you.
Take care, man.
See ya. Asian, you got another one?
Yeah, I mean, no question. I mean, it's like from picking up from Zimmy's point, it's like if we have this, like this is my understanding, if you have this like 12-month, 6-month or 24-month fixed duration refracting, then I think it's pretty obvious that at the end of that, P Luna is equal to Luna, right? Because at the end of that expiry, Y Luna will be zero. Right, but for this one, for this perpetual one, means we can't really predict. But I think P Luna will have some. Means we'll retain some price. So just adding on to Jimmy's quote, when we'll see this term, this fixed term one coming up, I think then the P Luna will carry more weightage. Yeah, in the sense that if someone wants to. Someone has to leverage on the price action.
I think you're exactly right on the fixed maturities when that comes, because you'll actually, so we'll, I think we're planning on doing 3, 6, 9, and 12 month periods. So you'll to a certain extent, you'll be able to like figure out like, okay, well, how much yield will I accrue over, you know, whatever time period, let's just say a year. So I'm gonna accrue like what, like 10%. You know, somewhere between 8 and 10% yield over that year. It obviously then fluctuates based on what the price of Luna is, but you can pretty much put a more fixed value on what that yield's worth, and the market will be able to price it more appropriately. And then, as you say, like as you approach the end of the maturity term, that yield token will become less and less valuable. And then when the term is over, essentially the yield rights will return to the holder of the PLUNA token. So yeah, that's going to be like a completely different ball game for sure. I think in terms of like where that is on the roadmap, it's probably so I think next things that will be coming up, obviously, just after we've kind of built out the rest of this dashboard. So, you know, the dashboard, the my page, the charts, and like obviously fixing some of the UI issues that have been raised. Next thing will be will most likely be B assets, so be able to bring B in and split that, as well as any other B assets that might appear between now and then. So we all know that B Atom and B Sol are somewhere along the way in terms of audits. So as soon as they come live, we'll be able to bring them as well. And then we also have contracts written for Astro, specifically Astroport LP refraction, which again would bring a whole new level of complexity to things in terms of like how do you value the yield of an LP versus the principal of an LP. And I think we'll, in that scenario, we'll probably see a much bigger skew towards the yield token than the price token. But I guess we'll wait and see for that. And then I think after that, we'll then be kind of looking at fixed maturities. I think the difficulty with fixed maturities is having sufficient liquidity to actually trade those. So trying to figure out like the mechanism of like, how do we design that so that there'll be sufficient liquidity for each of the P and Y tokens at different maturity lengths, if that makes sense.
I'm just curious for the B assets, like for example the B ETH or the B Atom. So for example, when we split, so how would you be able to give the yield? Would you be able to give that much yield that the Cosmos ecosystem has when they stake their Atom there? It's like right about now, it's like around about 18%, right? I mean, so they give a high yield to their stakers.
Yeah, absolutely. So yeah, I mean, like, so if you think of how B ETH works, so you deposit B ETH into Anchor, and Anchor essentially takes the yield of that, and you know, uses that to pay the borrowers. It'd be a similar thing. So I doubt you'd get the full if it's 18%, for example, on Atom. I doubt it'd be the full 18%. It would probably, you know, whichever company was in the middle creating that liquid staked asset would probably be taking some sort of cut, probably 5 to 10% off the top of that. But you know, theoretically, you know, you'd probably be getting 90% of the yields coming through into the Terra ecosystem.
And this depends on how the Anchor V2 is coming up with other B assets, and then Prism will take it from there, right? Or? Means for example, there is a talk going on like for Anchor to include this coins from Cosmos ecosystem. So once they do that, then you will be able to take those in and refract, right?
Theoretically, right? The platform is built for any yield bearing asset on the, you know, that we can bring into Prism. You know, we can refract that into its yield and its principal. Jimmy, I don't know if you're listening or if you want to maybe step in on, you know, the potential of refracting some of the assets that potentially coming through into Anchor V2.
What assets are we talking about? Like BE,
Yeah, I mean, my question was like, once it comes to Anchor, the other assets, then only Prism will be able to handle this yield part, right? Otherwise, how Prism handles the yield part?
I think the B assets are quite easy since all of the yield is already being converted to UST. And then for our side, when we're splitting it up, it'll be even simpler than the Y-Luna staking vault that we have now, where we're converting all of the stables, all the Luna, and doing some bonding on it and the airdrops as well, letting you claim that. For the B assets, we're essentially just going to allow you to, we're essentially just converting that UST into whatever you want. So maybe you want P Luna, maybe you want Y Luna, or Prism or X Prism. So they're actually a bit easier to implement, the ones coming from Lido Finance and the same ones that we're accepting for Anchor.
What's up, Marty? You got some?
Yes, no.
We've got Luna Evangelist in the audience. I wonder if he has any thoughts around what's going on.
I've seen a post from him that he thinks he thought Y Luna was overpriced, and then Y Luna started going down in price. So I wonder if that was his influence on the market.
Yeah, if you guys haven't read some of his articles on valuing the Prism token, as well as doing some analysis on P Luna and Y Luna, I highly suggest you guys check it out. And he's he throws around some mean memes as well.
All right. Someone's requesting.
But yeah, man.
I think everyone's busy Arbin right now.
Yeah, I've got all these chats open. I'm just trying to answer as many questions as I can, just multitasking at the moment. But if anyone here wants to jump in, feel free.
I hopped off for a little while because, contrary to popular belief, like, DGens actually shower.
Hello, everyone. It's my first time speaking. You guys did amazing. I'm loving the whole Prism protocol. What I did right now is I converted my regular Luna into, I refracted it basically to C Luna, then it converted into Y Luna. And now I'm just going to wait for P Luna price to come back to Y Luna, even closer. That will be a good ARB opportunity, right? Then I will just convert that into either P Luna and then convert it back to Luna. What do you guys think?
So, I mean, like, working for the protocol, I can't exactly, you know, advise you what to do. I guess the view here is, like, there's so many ways about going about this, right? So, you know, my general advice to everyone leading up to this has been, like, you know, if I was going to refract, I would want to personally, like, try and keep like equal parts P and Y, just because I want to be sure personally that I can go, like, back one to one to the same amount of Luna that I had before, plus maybe like some staking rewards. But like, there's like opportunity on the P to Y Luna ratio, like, absolutely. So, like, if you swap one way when you think one of them is cheap, and then the ratio, like, goes in your favor and the cheaper one becomes like a higher percentage of the ratio between the two, then you can swap back for, like, more overall Luna.
I think that's what the ARB is, right? You just gotta keep looking.
Well, it's there's
its own way.
There's so many ARBs, like, so, like, one of the ones that, like, popped out, like, really early doors was that P Luna plus Y Luna in terms of, like, UST value was, like, significantly more than Luna. So you could sell your PMY, you could refract, you could sell your PMY Luna for UST, you could go back to, like, Astroport, buy some more Luna, refract it back in again, and, like, kind of repeat that for a couple of times. Like, there's been like the Luna price itself on the DEX has like been fluctuating. So it's been like way below market value and way above market value. So there's been like arb opportunity there. There's been arb opportunity between Sea Luna and Luna itself. Like volatility on the Prism X Prism pair as well. So I think that's currently trading like 2% off peg. Like, so there's a whole bunch of different ways to go about it.
Yeah, I just want to congratulate everyone, the whole Prism Protocol team. You guys are amazing. Keep doing good job. I'm holding a lot of Prism token. I'm not planning to sell it at all because I'm just thinking like how much of the orb, all the fee is going to go to the Prism stake. It's going to be amazing.
You know, since I don't work for any protocol and I don't give a shit what I say, maybe I could provide you with a little bit of a thesis that I kind of go by as a general concept. And one basic, simple philosophy for me is no matter what I do, I'm not interested in losing any Luna. So, you know, if I look at the price of one of these primitives, and I feel like I have the UST to expend on one or the other while it's potentially cheaper, I like the idea of just like trading for the cheaper one. And if I see an ARB that results in more immediate Luna, obviously that's clear cut. But philosophically, the only way you can really think this through correctly is if you change your mindset not to what is the valuation, because if you look at all these primitives, it's not so much what the valuation is per se in just UST. It's like, do you value your portfolio based on how much Luna you have, or do you base it how much its value is in UST? So
mine is all Luna. Yeah, everything exactly goes back to Luna. I cannot afford to lose Luna. That's exactly what my mindset is.
That's precisely my philosophy, and as a result, that results in specific sort of behavior on the part of the user that's a little bit different than if you needed your cash right now as UST to go spend on something, right? That's a very different mindset. So, like, even when, for example, Luna was, you know, $70 to $80, you know, I bought, you know, substantial amounts of it, and you know, at the time I was taking advantage of like sometimes 2% or more arbitrage rates to bonded Luna as an example. So that was all just part of my DCA process. And so as you can imagine, me personally, I bought quite a bit more under $50 because if I'm willing to buy at, you know, $70, you can only imagine what I'm doing at 40 to 50, right? Like that's kind of how my math usually works, is the lower it goes, the more I get. And the way that I avoid sort of losing Luna is I personally try, I personally have not sold any Luna regardless of price, because I feel like the risk of getting out of the exposure for me is higher than the, I just don't want to make the wrong trade. Luna goes up and now I have less of it. It just doesn't make any sense to me. And like, if you look at the history of Bitcoin traders, like a huge portion of traders just simply ended up with less Bitcoin. And it was pretty sad. And the majority of people that just kept adding and holding did fantastic, because they're basically risking none of what they consider an apex asset. And I look at Luna the same way. So when I looked at Prism and all the various mechanisms behind it, like, to me, I'm just gaming it out to like, okay, how do I get the max Luna here? But if I refract my Luna, I'm not necessarily willing to jump in and like switch all of my Luna to P Luna or Y Luna personally, only because while yield is interesting, I just don't know what the like settled, the final price is, like you guys are saying, of the individual assets are. If I get UST that I'm earning off of yield, for example, or off of a borrow, and I take more exposure by buying, let's say, Y Luna while it's cheap, then I'm actually just simply increasing my Luna exposure plus or minus DCA into one of those primitives, but I'm not losing any prior Luna exposure that I already had in the process. That's my philosophy. And I think that's going to be a lot of people's philosophy that are sort of in it for the long run. And that's a different mindset than, okay, just continually like scrolling and looking your portfolio and see how much UST value your Luna is worth. That's like probably more going to result in a lot of people, especially if you have a lot of Luna and your Luna went from $100 to 40 something dollars, you might be suffering from a lot more anguish looking at your valuation in like real world dollars or whatever. And it's sort of like a mental exercise or like a meditation to like move your mindset to as what's called an accumulator mindset, where you're actually measuring your final outcome in the asset you're trying to acquire, not the one that you're sort of like the asset you're coming from to get it. That's my thinking.
So I have, I've been buying Luna since the price of $3, and all of my other coins, what I was doing or trading, I do trading on the side, everything I was able to take my profit into Luna. So basically in a long-term perspective, I'm only going to keep buying Luna. Plus I have a 9-to-5 job. That's also, you know, like one of that thing is going to Luna. One of the check is going to Luna, definitely. I don't know. My brother thinks that I'm fucking crazy, but I think Luna is the apex asset. Like there is no other asset which can be closer to Luna, because the way it, and not only that, the DeFi protocols, that it's the next generation. Prism just opened extremely complicated but amazing DeFi era that, you know, like all other yield-bearing assets are going to start doing that. It's going to be amazing. Man,
yeah,
amazing.
This is especially
I'm so excited.
True. Yeah, this is especially true that, like, I think what Aizen was saying or someone was mentioning earlier, that, you know, when you have, especially when you have assets that have, like, extraordinary yields, like, for example, like inflationary yield bearing tokens like a Osmosis or a like Juno or an Atom, you know, where you're talking about, you know, north of 10%, but sometimes north of 50% yield, that changes the equation dramatically as well in terms of the possible benefits for refracting. So those kinds of systems, especially inflationary yield earners, which have like a long-term inflationary yield, they're a lot less like price. They're a lot less dependent on the price of, say, Atom or the price of, say, a Polkadot or something like that, because they're paid in kind and they're paid in an algorithmic inflationary model. Those are going to have very, very different dynamics on Prism. So, you know, I might, you know, earn various yields off of those things. And if they're all on Terra and like, you know, yield bearing, the beauty of that is I can then shuttle the so-called gains over to, you know, Luna, which is the more deflationary asset, while taking advantage of the inflationary aspects of all the others. I think Prism will really, really make that super interesting to me. And I think actually, like, my general take on this is that in a universe where Luna exists in a like relatively, you know, deflationary direction, it's very difficult for all the other protocols that have built inflationary models, not just the ones on Terra, but really all of DeFi, to not have a black hole into Luna in terms of like those funds from those inflationary protocols, which they're hoping are going to be restaked in their own protocols. They might end up getting staked in Luna instead. So that's a very interesting thing. There's going to be a lot of vampirism, or so to speak, on Terra, as those other yield-bearing assets continue to flow into Terra, but not necessarily the other way around. Like, how many of you are taking your yield from like Terra and sending it off-world, so to speak? I think the answer is less people are willing to take those yields and put them in something else versus something that's a relatively deflationary pattern. That's my intuition, at least. And I think that is going to play out over time. I'm rarely wrong on these things, by the way. That's why like I've tried to educate people on this concept. Unless some other deflationary standard emerges that is superior in some way and has a better product than UST, I just don't see how the other protocols don't leech value into to Luna over time, the same way BTC sort of did that with, you know, arbitrage mechanisms over exchanges. It always strikes me as funny that the BTC crowd is anti-altcoin, when in fact a substantial portion of the liquidity pouring into Bitcoin tend to be arbitrage, volatility arbitrage into BTC from altcoins, which, it, you know, because BTC is essentially like a liquidity magnet. And I think Luna can have that similar function in the crypto space.
So
I'm gonna cut off from here. You guys are amazing. Keep doing the job and let Mandy speak now. All right. Thank you guys. Bye.
Take care, man.
Jimmy, you're saying something? Yeah.
Yeah. So the first distribution for the Yluna staking just went out. It's supposed to run once every hour or so now. So if you guys have some Yluna staked, you can go over to the staking tab, Yluna staking. You can claim and convert your staking rewards. So you can either choose, you know, Yluna, Pluna, Prism, XPrism, or if you don't want to convert them at all, you can just click do not convert. So this will give you another way to essentially like DCA into the P asset, the Y asset, or Prism, just whatever, you know, you feel like is part of your strategy right now. You know, you can always get more Yluna and like just restake it. Or if you feel like, you know, the ratio is in your realm of what you're comfortable with, you can just swap it all to one or the other.
So Jimmy, the one thing is I really still figuring out, like, there are multiple threads on the Prism strategies, I would say. And I don't know which one to go with. I'm still waiting on the coming up like a final version where we can optimize the investment strategy with Prism. Secondly, this space is not recorded. So Crypto ML, I request if you can record. Even Terra Space is not here. I just send them a message also. But if someone can record, that would be great.
Yeah, I mean.
So what you can do afterwards, Crypto Money, you can request for your data, like in your privacy settings, you can request for your data. And inside of that data will be this recording. And then you can, you know, edit it up and post it if you like. I think only the host can do it, however.
All right. Yeah, I'm not seeing the record.
Yeah, if you haven't, if you didn't start to record now, you'd have to go request the data from Twitter later.
All right. Yeah, I'll look into that. Marty, what's up?
So I love the platform. Can you guys hear me?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
You know, it kind of reminds me of this kind of on the way to being kind of a professional platform. It's got all the attributes, you know, that a family office or, you know, someone would use. Obviously, there's a lot of development that still has to come, and the pools aren't deep enough, but looks great. So, Boomer, that would be me, is kind of interested in kind of an X Prism X. You know, I'm looking for a rebasing, tax efficient kind of token so that I can, you know, ultimately, you know, borrow against it, you know, like I certainly hope to do for Luna X. Anyway, that's my little idea of the day, but awesome job.
Thank you, sir. Glad you're enjoying it. I think right now, like, the X Prism token maybe already fulfills what you're describing. So it's like an auto compounding token. You don't have to click claim on the rewards or anything like that. Its intrinsic value just increases as the protocol collects fees. You don't have to do anything if you're holding X Prism. When you're ready to exit your position in X Prism, you can either swap it out for Prism on the AMM. Or you can do the slow, essentially the unstaking slow burn that you're all probably familiar with over 21 days, so you can get the exact exchange rate that's displayed on the governance tab. As far as using it as collateral, I think that'd be actually super interesting if we can integrate and collaborate with the guys over at Mars and perhaps even the guys over at Edge, where you can, you know, borrow some amount of funds based on X Prism and hopefully, if we're doing things right, the XPRISM token continues to accrue quite a bit of value. And essentially, if you're borrowing against a interest-bearing token that's just going up in price, that it's not paying, you know, your loan's not paying itself off automatically, but your loan to value is at least hopefully decreasing over time.
Hey, one more bit of UI improvement. Right now on the swap, you can only fill in the token you're swapping out of. It'd be nice to be able to input the amount you're swapping into. Like, say, if I just wanted to pick up 100 XPRISM, just be able to type in 100 XPRISM and the UST amount would automatically fill in.
That's a good spot. Yeah, we'll note that one. Thank you.
Okay.
Yeah, I'll write it down, Ryan.
Thanks, Jimmy. Teamwork makes the dream work.
All right, anyone have anything else?
Anyone see the 2 million Luna that just got added to supply? Do you think that's, and have a hypothesis of why that may be, if that's related to Prism or Project On or something totally different? Circulating supply, that is.
Yeah, it looks like the monthly 3 million Luna vest that's been going on for the last 7 or 8 months now, that came out of Project Dawn. So it's less than 3 million, obviously, because they're currently burning circulating supply for the Anchor Yield Reserve.
Okay, got it. Thanks so much.
I got a question for Jimmy. Jimmy, is there any plan for making the pairs available on different platforms, like on Kujira or StraderX or YLuna or CLuna down the line?
Wait, sorry, I might have missed something. You wanted to see where the pairs would be on other DEXs, or for our DEX to include other pairs?
For our DEX only, like other platforms like Kujira or StraderX or somewhere.
Oh, so you're wondering if we're going to see, like, you're going to see Kujira trading on Prism Swap? Is that the question?
Yes.
I'm not sure if that makes sense, since I understand, like, yeah, we're a DEX, but primarily we're here to facilitate the trading of our derivatives and, you know, the Prism and XPRISM token. Yeah, I'm not exactly quite sure if we want to be like a full-blown DEX. I think, you know, the roadmap that we have to the things to refract and things to do within the realm and the core unique value that we bring to this space, there's plenty to be done in that space. And I think Astroport and the other DEXs can iterate on innovations on that side. But I don't know if it'll make sense for us to, you know, siphon liquidity from Astroport or Loop or anything like that to trade on our platform.
No, not for everything. So let's say, this is my understanding, like CLuna, it's kind of a static value, right? That the value doesn't change. It goes with the price of the Luna price, whatever is in the market, right? So CLuna, you can trade. Means now, YLuna is totally different. That can be, you can leverage P Luna, or how you're going to do it. The ratio, it's going to kind of volatile as of now, what I see from different threads. So my understanding was, like, if you want to trade Y Luna, will it make sense? Can you arb it, or can you do some kind of, you know, trading in between different platforms with different values and then make some benefit out of it? Or if not?
So I think, the question is, do you see these derivatives being utilized like elsewhere across the Terra ecosystem? I think maybe like Stader and Kujira weren't maybe the best examples, because I don't see off the top of my head where we could utilize PMY assets on those platforms. Like, the PMY assets are not subject to liquidation, so I don't quite see where they sit with Kujira. And I guess, like, to a certain extent, like, Stader is kind of like a competing product in the terms that it enables, like, liquid staking derivatives. I think, like, we could very quickly see different pairs popping up on the various DEXs. So TerraSwap, Astroport, and Loop you know, potentially might set up like different pairs. Like all our pairs are currently against Prism. And so like there might be some pairs that are more attractive that other DEXs might set up. So like the obvious one would be like a direct Sealune Soluna pair, for example. Someone may want to put like a Yluna Piluna pair together, which would be pretty interesting. And maybe like to have some of these pairs like against UST as well. We're like not opposed to that because I think particularly for the Y and C assets, if they are out in the ether, you know, any unstaked Yluna and any C Luna that's floating around, like 100% of the Luna yield from those assets comes back to buybacks of Prism and then goes into the X Prism pool. So is a big benefit to X Prism holders. On top of that, like in terms of utility, like I'm sure Jimmy would like happily talk to you about how he sees like Yluna merging with Kinetic for like a quicker repayment against Kinetic loans. I think, you know, Marty was just asking there about like X Prism being a auto compounding token. Like, could that be used as collateral on like, let's say, something like Anchor? I think, you know, potentially Anchor B2 is supporting that type of token as collateral, so there'd be a potential there. I mean, theoretically, you could potentially use Yluna on Anchor as well because it's, you know, it's yield bearing. So it'd be providing value back to earners whilst allowing borrowers to borrow. And then like from like Piluna, you know, Piluna, like could it be used as a borrowing collateral on the likes of potentially Mars on Edge? Could there be like a 2x Piluna token on Lavana? Like, I think there are a huge, huge range of possibilities for the way that these derivative tokens will be used across Terra. And you know, that's why I kind of said earlier, I don't know if you were in the call, but you know, that's why I kind of said, I kind of see Prism as being like another kind of like base layer protocol on Terra where we're creating these types of assets that are then being built on top of on other protocols across the ecosystem.
I think what Mendives is asking for is he's asking for like a DEX aggregator function with like routing functions. So that would be something that like a new protocol might consider doing, where they combine the, you know, TerraSwap, Astroport, and Prism and various other protocols, and then try to route you like the best possible like price and or conversion. I think right now the problem would be there's just obviously for any serious orders insufficient liquidity to have that be an efficient process. And that there's a ways to go to make that happen. But the people that might be
you
doing
got
something
it.
Like that would be like XDeFi wallet would be, yeah, XDeFi would be the people to ask. Like if you have a really, really interesting pairing that you think would be super popular for some reason, like the XDeFi people might be interested in building those connections.
Yeah, you got it, Steffi. Yeah, I was on work call, so I couldn't chime in when Ryan was asking, but that's exactly what I want, like some kind of wrapper, what Do Kwon was referring to, maybe similar fashion, but only for Prism, because right now it's a kind of bits and pieces here and there between Cluna, Yluna, and Piluna. So you don't get the overall aggregated liquidity visibility, how much it is in total, unless you figuring it out, like it's a base Luna you want to go with or Cluna you want to go with. But that perfectly making sense, what you just said. Yeah, that's what I asked.
I could see CoinHall playing in that space as well.
Yeah, good point. As kind of an aggregator, essentially. But, you know, the other tricky thing is when you make complicated like swaps, it can be difficult to tell unless there's really good dashboards or calculations being shown how much like you're losing in the mix of fee structure and slippage between all the different routing. So sometimes simplicity is the right choice. where you do it manually only because there's just not enough liquidity yet to make it possible to do complicated aggregators and routers. And like eventually that becomes a possibility, but I don't see it right now.
Marty, you got some?
Yes, sir. So I have a question, which I'd be interested to hear what people are thinking, including CeFi. So I'm not trying to jinx everybody here, but if Luna plummets in price, aren't we going to have a situation where Y Luna plunges in a on a lower basis because it has a fixed return? And is that an opportunity that transcends, you know, your kind of algorithmic buy issues there, CeFi?
I don't know. I'm just not sure how reflexive, or not reflexive, I don't know how Y Luna is going to respond to, or the primitives in general, how they're going to respond to, say, a down market, like at the bottom, versus like the relative top of a market. So let's say, you know, right now, I think we're at a relative bottom compared to where the top was. And you saw what happened to like B Luna arbitrage. And that had a lot to do with, you know, the lending, borrowing sort of panic selling type behavior that happens at the bottom to cover. So there's like a mechanic at play there that can be predictable, where you normally see the, like when Luna's price drops quickly, then all of a sudden the behavior of people is to suddenly sell B Luna back to Luna to try to be sure there's enough UST that they might have to cover, or whatever. I'm not really sure, you know, what the reasons, all the reasons why that happens, but basically you end up sort of having this mechanic. And then on the way up, you know, the arbitrage values narrow down, and things, we've seen Astroport in that example go all the way to like 1-to-1 pretty much, where you could arb back, you could swap between the two almost evenly. How that's going to play out with Prism, with Y Luna and P Luna, I'm not totally sure, but it would seem to me that if you want the max possible yield earning component, you're going to get the sort of best deal for that at the very bottom, just like you would for Luna. But I think it's going to depend on like what the, you know, what's going to be the cheaper way to get the most access to Y Luna at the bottom. Is it going to be to buy Luna and refract it? In which case, like P Luna is, let's say like it is right now, more expensive, and Y Luna is cheaper. And then you can basically use that tactic to then sell some of your P Luna and buy more Y Luna, you know, or do you just like buy Y Luna outright while it's cheap? Will it be cheaper at the bottom, or is it going to become popular at the bottom of Luna's price? And like suddenly that's going to rise to some unfavorable level, to where maybe the right time to buy Y Luna would be closer to the top. So that the trading question of what's going to be worth what at what point in the market is just not understood yet. And then you bring in the additional component of being able to borrow off your assets, which and then also the need to cover and panic sell or whatever the people do if price is down and their loan to value ratio is being affected. There's a lot of mechanisms that are still yet to kind of come into play that would drive the volatility. And this is why, like, to me, it's a lot less of a gamble to figure out a system that you simply benefit from the volatility, as opposed to proving for sure, am I buying Y Luna or P Luna at the right price, or, you know, performing the right sort of maneuver. I'm looking for ways ultimately that if, as long as the prices are moving against each other and there's volatility between them, the intercoin volatility is what I personally am interested in, that sort of kinetic energy and how to absorb that in and like get some of the yield off of that piece of the puzzle. A lot of interesting ways to look at it.
Here's my 100% certainty. You guys can all write this down. We're going to see more trumpeted observations from CeFi here in the coming weeks. In a very good way.
So, but either way, like, you know, the more people that refract, you know, this is essentially a staking solution you know, indirectly, right? Like, what, even if you're in C Luna, technically it's staked in the background. And that's good for the Terra ecosystem, because you can still sort of trade some of the price action if that's something that's interesting to you. But so far as the overall protocol of the overall blockchain is concerned, you're increasing the number of people, you know, staking, right? Like, because pretty much to enter any of the pools, like the, for example, the any of the Prism backed pools, you know, most of the components are essentially staked in the background, whether you're getting the staking yield or not. And all that staking, I think, is, you know, going to be value accretive for Luna in general. So that's what I love about the protocol, is it is there are the protocols that benefit long-term UST adoption, and then simultaneously there are protocols that benefit the ownership, the owners of Luna and people wanting to have Luna. And I think both are important to have, like a dual sort of meme, dual network effect structure that practically nothing else has right now. Because there are other algorithmic stablecoins, but the question is the volatile asset in those in that stablecoin pair, is it going to also be worth holding? And is there a large infrastructure built around using, say, Luna or the reserve rights token, or like DJed on Cardano, whoever the hell is building whatever? Like, the bottom line is, like, Luna's magic is that Luna itself is interesting while UST is also interesting. And that's that sort of double network effect that I like. So Prism, I think, is super important to that ethos. And I still feel like most protocols, like what they're doing wrong in tokenomics is they're not providing enough Luna exposure as part of their underlying token value accrual mechanism. I think that's a mistake. I think anyone that's not thinking of that building a protocol today should really be considering that possibility, or building a treasury of yield bearing assets that then provide additional benefit to the token holders of those protocols. So you have like you're almost like in a diversified portfolio in a sense, or an ETF when you buy a protocol token. You know, so that's kind of what Prism X does, right? Like it, you know, if you're bullish on Luna, then it's basically a play on Luna, because like if Luna does really shitty and goes to zero, well, obviously the Prism X token would do the same. But at the same time, you have it in the background. It's like the more people that get into the Terra ecosystem and the more people that use it, the more people that use Prism, there's a value accrual mechanism that's tied to Luna, in my opinion, and that's where something like Prism X has a different type of value than some of the other protocol tokens on Terra that don't have that same, like, you know, a lot of the other protocol tokens are exposed to a very different sort of risk, in my opinion, than this one. I'm gonna hop off and head to work, guys. So it's been fun catching up this morning. Thanks, everybody.
Yeah, I think we're 3 hours in. I think I'm gonna end it off anyway here. All right, guys, thanks for joining. Have fun refracting. And
thanks for checking out another episode of The Ether. That was the last 55 minutes or so of the crypto money life space, Luna Prism Strategy Opportunity, recorded on Monday, February 14th, 2022. This episode of The Ether was brought to you by WeFund. WeFund is a community crowdfunding cross-chain incubator on Terra, and it's the first launchpad that implements a milestone funding release system to protect investors. All money raised for projects is deposited in Anchor Protocol, and it's refundable, and all decisions are based on community voting power. WeFund is community-focused and designed to be a user-friendly experience for both project creators and investors. Be sure to follow them on Twitter and join the Telegram for more information. Links are in the show notes, and check them out online at WeFund.app. This episode of The Ether was also brought to you by Talus. Talus Protocol is the NFT platform for independent artists on Terra. Talus helps to provide artists with the tools and resources needed to transition from traditional art into the NFT world. With their V1 launch coming soon, Talus will be the place to see real-world art reflected on Terra. Be sure to join their Telegram and follow Talus on Twitter for updates on their roadmap, validator, and other Talus news. Find your next favorite artist on talus.art. TerraSpaces appreciates the support from all our sponsors. For TerraSpaces.org, I'm Finn. Thanks for listening. Stepping on the concrete where the rocks meet. Nighttime special ops flushing out the raw meat. If you think you want beef, think again promptly. Oddly, the bombs never dropped on the party. Probably the odds were too damn alarming. Disarming the population, that's a hard feat. Hardly break up the booze and the drugs. Wait till the bodies drop, then roll up the rugs. Raise up an army of suicide Barbies. Never bring a plastic knife to a gun battle. Gotta praise mommy for the do or die heartbeat. Gave up killing, now she's back in the saddle. Better pick a side, let them go gather. When the dogs of war are out looking for their master, feeling all wore out like a blood donor. But they wouldn't take it, didn't have the right aroma. When the enemy strikes, you better have a flashlight. Never have I seen darker days in my life. Everyone got a handout, looking for a pardon. Me, I'm just lucky, I found a good partner. The look on the face when the shit got started. A bunch of dead bodies, dearly departed. It's merely an art form made out of cardboard. Got a brain and the headed blood pumping heart for. Keeping everything saturated like a drugstore. Fighting through the lines like a blood sport of sorts. Just trying to get enough food to live. Can't grow your own when you're living in the shit. In the midst of all this, we never got our shit together long enough to sit and think about the bigger picture. Whether or not we ever had to run the risk, rather be a carrier gorilla in the mist.
Well, we need to remember that this virus will pass, but the decisions that we make today in this atmosphere will last. We will have to live with them, our children will have to live with them, all of our posterity will. It's not just about America. It's not just about your city. It's about everywhere.
Terra Spaces.